Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Report, and our show today is titled America's Descent and to chaos is in motion. All praise is due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we're going to get right into the show. But if you hear me, like, stutter a little bit, if you hear me kind of get caught on a few words, don't think hard of your brother. I had a little dental work done yesterday morning, so I'm still trying to adjust to it, okay? All right, so brothers and sisters, don't think of charge it to my head and not to my heart. I love you. If you love the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I love you. And for those of you who are joining us who may not be familiar with the show, as we go through this show, please just bear with us and just be patient as we bring to you the unadulterated truth, and we prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the last messenger of God, that his teachings are divine teachings, and that that man that he represented as God is God indeed, okay? America's descent into chaos is in motion. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't know if you're aware of this, but if you go to the grocery stores right now, you'll see the shelves on each aisle. Some of them are empty, some of them are half empty, and some of them, what they do, they put a few items on the shelf, bring it to the front to make it look as though it is not as bad as it once was. This goes back to what I was telling you on shows before, that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that as the judgment intensifies, all of these options that you have in America, with you can go to this supermarket and go to that supermarket and go to this one and that one and that one and this one, all of those options will come to an end. Allah will touch America, right? And those options will start going bankrupt, belly up. And we see that now. All of these options of you can go there and get 40 times of toothpaste, right? All of that's stopping. We're in the midst of that now. We're in the midst of America's descent into total chaos. I don't think a lot of you see it. And we're going to get into the books and we're going to get into the articles, but I think a lot of you see it and a lot of you talk about it, but I don't think that truly you believe that it is going to happen in your lifetime. But I want to assure you, and I want to put your mind at ease, that Allah is the greatest, and he's going to bring this about in this time, the time that he had proclaimed that he would do it. We see it everywhere. Matter of fact, as I'm talking to you, let's go to something real quick. Okay, and I'm going to be sipping on some of this water, so you guys, because that dental work, it dries my mouth a little bit, so you got to bear with me, okay? Here we are. Let's go to Americans. We're going to go to the Economic Collapse blog, and we're going to go to read just a little bit of a few articles, okay? We're going to, as we always do, and I have to say this because I'm talking to a larger audience, okay? We always, whatever we do, we use Messenger Elijah Muhammad's teachings as the blueprint. They are the Rosetta Stone for truth, all right? This is our guideline. This is our blueprint to build the house correctly. So when I'm reading these articles to you, when you're listening to these clips, you have to listen to them in a mind frame to accept the truth, because what we are showing you is that the white man himself, even though he does not come out and say, well, I'm falling, this is the end of me, even though sometimes he does say that, but he says it in such a slick way, they are bearing witness to what Elijah Muhammad says. Let's go to, we're going to go to the Economic Collapse blog. I want to talk to you for a minute, brothers and sisters, if you have time. Just bear with your brother, okay? We're going to connect some dots. We're going to lay this picture out. We're going to put dots out. Then we're going to connect it, and you're going to get a bigger view of a bigger picture, okay? This article is called Americans Are Taking On Debt As If Tomorrow Will Never Come. And this is the first time I've read the article. I've read like two sentences of it, but I'm going to read it along with you, okay? So bear with me. It says, if you make a conscious choice to ignore all long-term consequences, managing your personal finances can be a lot of fun. For example, instead of rationally evaluating what sort of managed mortgage payment you can actually afford, why not take a plunge and buy a $600,000 house? You only live once, right? And instead of making your current dumpy vehicle last another year or two, Why not take out a huge loan on a brand new $60,000 SUV? You know you deserve it. See, he's showing sarcasm with what he's saying, but I want to get to something, okay? He says, you know you deserve it. While you are at it, why don't you go on another huge spending spree and max out all of your credit cards again? Paying off those credit cards will be very painful in the long run, but nobody thinks much about long-term consequences these days. Stop right there. This is what I'm telling you. This is why I'm coming to you, because a lot of you don't think about the long-term ramifications of the judgment. A lot of you don't think about the long-term ramifications of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching. I know a lot of brothers and sisters who long for the 50s and the 60s, right? But if we would have stayed in the 50s and the 60s, we would never have reached this point of the judgment. There was long-term consequences for your being a rejecter of the teachings. There was long-term consequences for you fighting against the progress of the Nation of Islam. There's long-term consequences for you when you were doing your dirt, and now that you present yourself as someone who is a lover of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, there are consequences for that, right? The messenger said, intense regret for not helping the messenger when you had the opportunity to. So a lot of people are in a rush now because they see the end in sight. But these are the consequences for decisions made long ago. I want you to listen closely to this, because we're going to relate this to the judgment of America and the judgment of this world at large. It says, just look at the federal government. Oh, they're giving us an example now of somebody who is spending and has not taken a deeper thought or view of the consequences of its unbridled spending spree. Remember that 1971, when the world went off the gold and silver standard, as Muhammad teaches us, the financial doom of England and America was sealed. Okay, why? Because under the gold standard, they could not print money infinitum, into perpetuity. They could not just run up deficits after deficit after deficit after deficit, because they had to have silver and gold to bag their money printing. But Richard Nixon, he took that away. And America has been on a descent now ever since then, economically. An economic descent into hell. You didn't see it when Elijah Muhammad was teaching you this, and fall of America, the decline of the dollar. See, this chapter is so important, as I tell you. Muhammad is a strategic thinker. He's a strategic writer. Why? Because he is a leader and teacher of an entire people. When he teaches something, you have to examine his words. That's why he comes and tells you to examine my words. Put them on the scale of facts and take them apart and piece them back together. And you tell me whether or not I have lied to you. He's telling you, examine my words. To examine does not just merely means to memorize or to repeat. To examine means to look into, right? Let's go to the dictionary, okay? Let's see if we can go to the dictionary on this, okay? So, let's see, meaning of examine. Okay, according to the Google Dictionary, the word examine means to inspect. It is a verb, to inspect someone or something in detail, to determine the nature or condition, to investigate thoroughly, to inspect, survey, scrutinize, look at, look into, inquire into, to study, to test, to quiz, to question, to assess, to appraise, to test the knowledge or proficiency of someone by requiring them to answer questions or perform tasks, right? So when he says examine my words, he's not just talking about memorization. He's not just talking about being able to regurgitate them. He's talking about piecing them apart, looking into them so that you'll be able to prove what I'm saying. Okay? I told you, when you on for this ride, you're going to have to think. We won't allow you to be lazy here. We're going to put that gray matter to use. Okay? It is a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Let's go into something. Just look at the federal government. Now this white man gives you an example of what he's talking about. And then he goes and says, they are $28 trillion in debt. And yet our politicians continue to throw money around like a bunch of drunken sailors. Why would he use that phrase? That the politicians continue to throw money around like a bunch of drunken sailors. Remember, Messenger Elijah Muhammad says that in the fall of America, Allah would smite the leadership, the government, or the mountains with derision, and they would be fed their own madness, and they would become drunk, or if they were drunkards, of sweet wine. That's the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, right? You know I'm not lying. So listen what it says. They are $28 trillion in debt, and yet your politicians continue to throw money around like a bunch of drunken sailors. Of course, the federal government is far from alone. State and local governments have never been so deep in debt. We are in the midst of the greatest corporate debt binge of all time. And U.S. consumers are certainly doing their part. Now stop right there. Of course, the federal government is far from alone. State and local governments have never been so deep in debt. Stop right there. All right? So let us do this time frame. 1555 was the date that we came here. Remember, it took 64 years of hidden history away. That's the 64 years that it took to make a nigger, to try to dehumanize us, to try to make us as cattle. But we don't go from that. What they talk about 1619 and the dates of 1621, we know that is foolishness. So we go to the root of it, 1555. And when we do a mathematical calculation and we say 1555, 1655, 1755, 1855, 1955, that's 400 years, right? To 1955. And Muhammad teaches us that they would have a 60 to not exceed 70-year grace period. And then in that part where the grace period comes to an end, they would suffer, right, untold wealth destruction, untold violence. They would be rebuffed at every end of the spectrum, and God would, he would put derision in them, and they would not know what to do, and this would help bring down the nation that you call the American Republic. Okay? In this article, this man says, of course, the federal government is far from alone. State and local governments have never been so deep in debt. So he has given us a time frame of right now. When we compare it to any time in America's history, the debt burden is so tremendous, not just with the federal government, but with the local and the state governments. So if America has been buried in debt, how in the hell do you think the republic or the empire can maintain itself? But we're going to go further. Oh, we like to prove Messenger Elijah Muhammad. We like to prove it. And I want you to see, brothers and sisters who are listening, and those of you who may not be accepting of your own, I say this to you on the air, and this is not a boast. This is in all humility, because I believe 100% in the messenger, his teachings, and the God that he represents, that if you believe that you can disprove me, that if you believe that you have found fault in Elijah Muhammad's teachings, call in 347-989-0855, and I will crack your head spiritually, because Elijah Muhammad don't make mistakes. You hear me? But let's go further. That's how confident I am in Messenger Elijah Muhammad's teachings. And I believe that Allah would provide me with the wisdom needed to defend his teachings. All right? It says, of course, the federal government is far from alone. State state and local governments have never been so deep in debt. We are in the midst of the greatest corporate debt binge of all time. What about the 50s? No. What about the 60s? No. What about the 70s? No. What about the 80s when they removed the Glass-Steagall Act? Or 80s or 90s, excuse me. No. What about 2008 when we start seeing the meltdown of America? No. What about the 2010s? No. So where are we now? In the 2020s. And if you do a spiritual or theological comparison, the 60 did not exceed 70-year grace period is here, right? So he says, they're in the greatest corporate debt binge of all time. And it so happens to be at the ending of the 60 did not exceed 70-year grace period, right? And U.S. consumers are certainly doing their part. In fact, the last quarter we witnessed the largest increase in consumer debt since just before the last financial crisis. Americans have more debt than ever before. Now, let me raise a question to you before we go further. If the government is mired in debt, if corporations are mired in debt, if the state and the local municipalities are mired in debt, and if the very people whom the governments are supposed to govern are mired in debt, how in the hell can this go on? I'm asking you this. Let us not use religion. Let us move aside theology for a minute. Let us move aside personal biases for a few minutes. And let us examine this thing as it should be. If you were in that position, if your wife or your husband was in that position too, if your children was in that position too, and you're living in a house that you can't afford, and you're driving in cars that you can't afford and you don't make payments on, and you're living off credit card after credit card, you're borrowing from one credit card to pay on the next one, and you're borrowing from this credit card to pay that bill, how long do you think that can go on? Because that's essentially what the American empire, the American government, or the American republic is doing. So we put it in real terms for you to see. You hear me? America's descent into chaos is in motion. This is not just some cheap slogan. The title of this show is a reality. Let's go further, okay? I want to play something for you. Maybe they'll let me play it. I don't know. You know how they do things with me. I'm hoping they will let me play something for you. I'll have to look for it in a second, but I want to finish reading this for you, okay? Now, remember what I said to you all, that I'm reading this article for the first time. When I saw it the other day when I was doing an interview for our other platform, the Red Pill Diaries, over on Patreon, I saw the article, and I saw the headline. I said, you know what, on the next show, if I get a chance to, I'm going to read that live so me and the listeners or the viewers of the Star and Crescent Report can examine this and break this down. I didn't take any lead to read it again. Matter of fact, I'll just keep it at that. But let's go here. It says this right here. Americans have more debt than ever before. A surge in credit card spending and home purchases caused U.S. household debt to increase by $313 billion or 2.1% in the second quarter, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. That's the largest nominal jump since 2007 and the biggest percentage increase in 7.5 years. Overall, U.S. consumers are now $14,960,000,000,000 in debt. We will shortly hit the $15 trillion mark, right? Now stop right there. Now, with that said, that's the consumer spending. We're not talking about college debt or student debt. We're not talking about the government or public debt of $30 trillion. We're not talking about the local, state, and city municipalities debt, right? We're not talking about the corporate debt. We're not talking about what Gregory Mannarino told me over a year ago personally. And for those of you who may not know who he is, Gregory Mannarino is an investor. He used to be, I think, a lieutenant or a captain in the Navy or something like that, intelligence guy. And he told me personally, face-to-face, that America's debt at that time was in the quadrillions of dollars in the bond market. He said nobody talks about the bond market, the derivative market. And that's where you keep your eye at, because her debt is in the quadrillions. I said quadrillions. He said in the quadrillions of dollars. Nobody ever talks about that. Now, why is this so important? And how does this connect to Elijah Muhammad's teachings? And how does this connect to prophecy? And how this relates to the liberation and the separation of the American so-called Negro? Huh? Because scripture tells us that in the day of America's downfall, no nation would be able to come to her aid. And America would not be able to aid her own. See, if you're mired in debt, you're too busy trying to figure out how you're going to survive. Right? If you're mired in debt, and your cousin is mired in debt, and your brother is mired in debt, you can't be trying to get them out of debt when you have so much debt on your own. You have to focus on you, or else suffer the same consequences as they may suffer. Right? This is where we are. No nation will be able to aid America in the day of her downfall because of the debt situation. She has alienated her creditors. Right? And what's so crazy, like in the interview that I did with Helen Boyensky, who is a writer for Russia Today or RT.com or whatever, you go look at it. She has multiple articles on there. When I interviewed her the other day on the Red Pill Diaries, it's amazing that her view of the situation, and you heard me say it on here first, and I brought that up to her. She said it's like crackhead economics. This is what America has, crackhead economics. And I stopped and I laughed and I said, you know what? On my other platform, I talk about that and I constantly use, I said, but the only difference is I say crackhead politics. But she's saying that the leaders are so out there in the ether that they can't see the destruction and the fall. All right? I want you to listen. I mean, just pay attention to what I'm saying here, okay? If America, her stated deficit is $30 trillion, right? And America's state and local and county municipalities are in the trillions of dollars. And her people, personal debt, is nearly $15 trillion, which does not include things like student debt, which is in the trillions. And then she is continually putting these budget deficits up year after year, right? And her tax revenue continues to fall. And she continues to have trade deficits, not surpluses, deficits. How long do you think she can go? Now, I'm asking you this because I want you to put yourself in that position. If you were married, and you and your spouse were in that position, and you don't, and you're constantly borrowing or writing checks trying to catch them on the other end, and you're constantly spending, and when you get in line and you use your credit card, you're saying, oh, Lord, please let my credit card go through this time. Let my credit card go through. I know I got to pay on this other one, but let this one go through. We need the food, or we need the water. How long do you think that can go on? But you don't use common sense. You think that this will go on in perpetuity. So Muhammad says that America, we are living in the fall of America. And these white people are telling you this, but they're telling you this in slicker ways, okay? It goes further and says, we will shortly hit the $15 trillion mark, and I think that we should commemorate the crossing of that threshold with some sort of celebration. Of course, any celebration should involve going into even more debt. He's being facetious here. Because there are few things that Americans enjoy more than getting even deeper into debt. Mortgage debt is rising particularly quickly. Housing prices have been going through the roof recently, and this has created a frenzy on a scale that we haven't seen since just before the subprime mortgage meltdown of 2008. What's important about that meltdown? It is because in the heat of the night, they stopped the stock market from because people were getting ready to sell off their U.S. assets. They prevented nations from selling off their assets, and then they passed a bill that was barely read by the Congress to pump more money into the, as a matter of fact, you can Google this, and it was on with C-SPAN. And some congressmen or congresswomen or whatever got so mad because the bills were passed with little to no discussion. And they were saying that had not this bill passed, the empire would have come tumbling down. Well, you're in worse condition now. You have alienated more of your lenders. How do you think that's going to vie with the people that you owe money to? How do you think that? I'm asking you these things because some of you never, ever sit down to just examine what Muhammad says. Examine them. Don't just read them. Don't just look at them. Examine them. According to the dictionary, the word examine means to inspect someone or something in detail to determine their nature or condition. Investigate thoroughly to test the knowledge or proficiency of someone by requiring them to answer questions or perform tasks. It is to inspect, to survey, to scrutinize, to look at, to look into, to inquire into, to study, to test, to quiz, to question, right? Assess and to appraise. Do you do that when you are looking at these things going on with the Western world and the collapse of American power? Do you do these things when you are looking at the dire economic situation in your neighborhood and in your city and in your state, and you see the people rioting and protesting, and then you go out in the streets, oh, we got to demand justice for this. Don't you know that justice is the working out of what is going on right now? That is the eventual working out of what is going on right now, justice. Because they would not share their wealth, which was built off our backs, so God is destroying theirs. They would not treat us humanely and civilized, so Allah is destroying their civilization and making them to descend into savagery. They kept shedding our blood, and now blood must be spilled on the street of America. As thou hast done, so shall it be done unto thee. For I will save my anointed, my chosen. Right? So some of you can get mixed up and messed up because you want to be a part of the social construct. But all of these people are like rudderless ships. They're being tossed about by the waves, here and there and to and fro. This is a time where justice is the eventual working out of everything. On the order of God, all praise is due to the most to God for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I want to say something to you all. Listen, I know it's getting hard. It's going to get harder. It's going to get harder. Then it's going to get harder. Then it's going to get harder. But for those of you who keep your faith, your trust in Elijah Muhammad, the last and the greatest messenger of God, his teachings, and the God that he represents, if you stay focused on that, you will get through. Because the scriptures have given us an assurance that no weapon, carnal or spiritual, economic or military, formed against us will prosper. But you got to believe that. And by believing that, you got to enact on the truth. Okay? Belief is more than proclamation. Belief entails action. And action is motion. Right? And when you're in action, and you're in motion, what are you doing, brothers and sisters? You're making time, isn't that right? All praise is due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. It is a very, very beautiful time to be a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad if you have the spiritual eyes to see. You don't get captivated by eloquent speakers who may say they represent the messenger. What you do, you don't just look at their talking. You look at the actions, okay? And if they are not representing the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings right, I don't care how well they may speak, you got to walk away from that. You got to walk away from that because they're nothing but magicians, and they're using you because they have some inner desire to be a leader. They have an inner desire to be recognized, but history and time won't recognize them. They will be embarrassed. America's descent into chaos is in motion. So, again, listen what they're saying here. And I have a clip here. This is a 2-minute clip. Remember what I just read to you all, okay, about the debt situation with America. And let's refresh. Mortgage debt is rising particularly quickly. Housing prices have been going through the roof recently, and this has created a frenzy on a scale that we haven't seen since just before the subprime mortgage meltdown of 2008. Mortgage debt, the single biggest contributor to overall household debt, rose $282 billion to 10. Oh, my God. Listen to this. Mortgage debt, the single biggest contributor to overall household debt, rose $282 billion to $10,044 billion. Woo, Lord. A whopping 44% of the outstanding balances were originated over the past year, accounting for both new and refinancing. Actually, it's $10,440 billion. And it says, and I'm going to get to the clip, but listen. But even though the U.S. housing market is red hot and borrowing to purchase homes is through the roof, there are still 2 million borrowers in mortgage forbearance who are vulnerable to financial distress once the forbearance programs come to an end. Right? Now, there was a recent interview where they were talking about this situation and the mortgage debt and the situation with the government was striking out evictions and foreclosures. And the reason that America just had to act on it in the last hour because, listen, these people had passed their bill, they had went home, and then they started realizing they were getting calls, not just from their constituencies in their cities, but from finance people saying, listen, we've come to the conclusion that if you do not renew this stop the foreclosures and stop the evictions, that there would be 20 to 30 some million people on the street. And if that environment happens, then you will see rioting and protests throughout the nation. This is what caused them to act, because they had already gone home on vacation. Oh, y'all just don't understand the severity of what is going on behind the scenes with America, okay? But I want you to listen to this to show you the depths of desperation and the depths of depravity economically. And you know that is a microcosm of her ethically and morally across the spectrum of America, whether it's domestically or internationally. She has suffered deprivation in her mind, in her thinking, because she has deprived us of things. Now she's being deprived of the ability to think clearly. I want you to listen to this 2-minute clip, okay? Pay close attention to this.
Is the news with Rick Sanchez.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rick Sanchez. I want to welcome our viewers from all over the world, especially those of you who are watching us right now on the portable TV app. All right, so I want to start by giving you what is, I think, a startling statistic that we all need to wrap our heads around, and it's this. In the last 23 months, just short of 2 years, our government began printing money at the rate of $6.5 billion a day. $6.5 billion a day. Remember, this is money that is being drawn essentially out of thin air. It's not tied or grounded to any particular asset, for example. That means that in those 23 months, the agency that prints that money, the Fed, has increased its balance sheet by $4.4 trillion. $4.4 trillion in just 23 months. That means essentially this. We have printed more money in the last roughly 23 months than we have in the Fed's entire existence. The Fed was founded in 1913, right about the time that we were still looking for or counting bodies from the sinking of the Titanic. That's how far long ago. That means that we printed more money in the last couple of years than we did in the last 100 years. If inflation stays at high levels, meaning that we eventually have to raise interest rates, and at some point we stop printing money, what's going to happen? President Ronald Reagan's former budget director says what will happen will not be a pretty picture at all. David Stockman is ringing the alarm bell right here on the news with Rick Sanchez.
Yeah. Did you hear what he said? That America in the last, 2 years, America has printed more debt than she has printed up in the last 100 years. Now, there's something very significant about this. I want to play the next part of the clip, too. I cut it up into two clips because I wanted to get your attention with this. And this is just a precursor to what he was talking about. And it goes a little bit deeper in depth to this, okay? But I just want you to understand something, that this goes back to 1913 when the Federal Reserve was being established, and then its policy started being enacted in the year 1914. So what is significant about the years 1913 and 1914? Talk back to me. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that 1914 marked the end of the white man's world, marked the end of his power over the darker people of the earth. Now, you couldn't see that when he said it, but now they are talking about it, and they continue to go back to 1971. They continue to go back to 1960-something. They continue to go back to 1955. They continue to go back to 1930. They continue to go back to 1913 and 1914. Why? Why are they so preoccupied with those dates? Because those dates are very significant. Because 1913 and 1914 are one and the same, and it marked the end of their power economically, politically, and militarily over the darker people of the world. And we're seeing the blowback effect 100 years later. It's just like when a star explodes, right? It doesn't just explode and poof and it's gone. No, there's a process. And after the explosion, it goes supernova, and then you see the left behind parts of it, and then over millions of years, you don't see it anymore. This is what we're looking at. We're in that part of the supernova that it is now dissipating and now going away. So 1913 and 1914 was crucial. 1929 and 1930 are crucial. Why? Because Master Farad Muhammad, Almighty God Allah, came to have manifested himself in 1930. And on his arrival, the planet Platoon or Pluto was discovered as a sign of you and I who were considered little fools. And it came at a time at America's Great Depression. Oh, remember what I just said? It came at a time of America's Great Depression. And then we moved to other dates particularly, and we already addressed the 1955 part, which culminated the 400 years of servitude in America. And then the 1965, which they point out to you, and Elijah Muhammad points out to you, in the message to the black man, the 65 and the 66. This is when they robbed the coins of their silver. The 1971, as he pointed out to you, in the decline of the dollar, they had rob the currency of the backing of gold and silver. And we're living in the ramification of those strategic dates that these people keep going back to. You were not wise enough to go back to, but this white man is going back to those dates, and he's saying, this date is the cause of this problem. This date is the cause of this problem. This date is the cause of that problem. Hmm? And you laughed at Elijah Muhammad when he was telling you about that stuff, right? Now who's the fool? Huh? Talk back to me, because I'm talking to you. Let's go further. He says, I was going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to read a little bit more of this, and then we'll follow it up with the second part of that clip. And he goes in and says, is it just me, or does it seem like we have been here before? All of this just seems so oddly familiar. Of course, the experts are assuring us that this even bigger housing bubble will end so much more nicely than the last one did. You believe them, don't you? After being showered with trillions upon trillions of dollars by the federal government, you would think that most Americans should be in a pretty good financial condition these days. Unfortunately, it turns out that all the money just made the gap between the wealthy and the rest of us even larger. Americans added nearly $4 trillion to their savings during the coronavirus pandemic, but most of the gains went to the wealthy, according to a new study. Stimulus checks, rising stock markets, and fewer spending choices led to a massive savings boom over the past year, with Americans saving about $3.7 trillion, according to a study from Oxford Economics. Yet 70% of the gains went to the wealthiest 20% of Americans, the study finds. Man, if that's not class warfare, then you tell me what that is. But anyway, it says, and as I discussed the other day, there are millions and millions of Americans that were in danger of being thrown out into the streets once the eviction moratorium ended, but now Joe Biden has decided to come to the rescue. Stop right there. All right? I just was talking to you about why he decided to come to the rescue. It's amazing that this article was saying that because I've never read this article before. They understand that America is under tremendous pressure. This is divine pressure. This is not a pressure that she will be able to overcome. See, America wants you to believe that when we're going to get out of this problem, and we're going to do this, and we'll rebound, and we'll go and do this. She's a good talker. But her men of thinking, her men of war, her men of economics, her women of economics, they understand that this is unlike any time before. And that is why they're trying to store up their wealth. This is why they're trying to rip you off one last time, because they believe if they can preserve their wealth, when all of the things come crashing down, that they can rebuild and stay at the head. But if that's the case, then there's no need for a judgment. If that's the case, then there's no need for a new world. Because if the old people are left in their position, then they're just going to regurgitate that which was overthrown and destroyed. So God goes to the very root of the thing. He's not going to leave them neither root nor branch, according to the scriptures. Right? In Habakkuk. So what are we looking at? We're looking at America's descent into total chaos, not just chaos, but into total chaos on the order of God. Because of the chaos that she has wrecked our lives with. Some of you don't think enough to hold their feet to the fire. You don't think enough that God is able to bring about his word be. God just don't put stuff out in the atmosphere empty of weight. When he says he's going to give you what you gave out, you got to receive it. If you gave out hell, guess what you're going to receive? And science tells us, right, that any action going forward, like that goes against some kind of opposition or anything that's in his way, must receive an equal or greater what? Reaction. So they're going to get equal or greater than what they put out. You cannot nullify the laws of the universe to please your thinking that America and the Western world will overcome this. Because if you think that way, then you're thinking that they're the God and that they have ultimate power and that somehow the whole universe stops. The whole workings of the universe stops when it comes to them. That is insane, and that's crazy as hell. That's crazy as hell. You better wake up to this time. Because if not, you will be instead in the same kind of trap that has caught America, Europe, and the Western world, and is bringing them to their knees. Savagery, just like they have brought the world down in savagery. Same thing is going to them. As thou hast done, so shall it be done unto thee. Those are not empty words. Then they rob you of the wealth. Then they exploit you. What's happening to their economic system? Then they go around the world fighting, killing, and stealing. What's happening now? Those nations are rebuffing America, fighting, killing, and stealing her military equipment, right? Then she go around the world threatening other nations. What's happening globally? Those nations are now threatening her, right? As thou hast done, so shall it be done unto thee. America, England, France, Germany, the Western world are not exempt to that very basic law of the universe. Karma, judgment. What goes around comes around. They're not exempt from that. So, let's go to Mr. Rick Sanchez. Again, this is about a 10-minute clip here. This is part two of what he was talking about with the Fed printing. And remember, as the Fed prints money to continue, now they have no sound backing, no gold, no silver to back the money. Right? They have no collateral. This is why they had all of these parks and stuff, like Yellowstone, all these national parks. These things were supposed to be used as collateral because America didn't have gold. They were supposed to be used as collateral for the people who were lending them money. You didn't know that, did you? They didn't just want to save no dang on elephants or no dung on moose or no bears. They did what they had to do to secure some loans from the nations around the world. And because they had no sound backing, they had to give something that was tangible for the nations to continue to fund her rampage of spending. And as you will find out, the more she prints money, the more she debases the currencies, and the currency continues to lose its value. That's why nations are moving outside of the dollar. That's why nations are doing bilateral swap agreements, bilateral trade agreements, right? This is why China is doing a digital yuan on top of strengthening her already in place currency, the paper yuan. And this is why she started the Shanghai Gold Reserve, because London and America was manipulating the gold. And so she made a counterweight. That's why they're mad at China, because she made a counterweight, because these are crooks in suits. And they were manipulating the gold prices, the silver prices, the copper prices. And so China said she was fed up. She made her an entirely new system over there that would trade the gold and the silver and all of those things in yuan. And let me tell you something. Let me say something before we go to this clip, because it's very important that you understand what just happened in the Middle East. And it has everything to do with the debasing of the American currency. And it has everything to do with America trying to maintain her strategic grip on all of the strategic waterways, all of the strategic trade routes, and all of the areas with the carbohydrates, so that she can hold a gun to the head of all the nations and say, you must accept the dollar as the basis for trade, or else we go into war with you. So listen. Recently, there was a false flag event, and I talked about it in depth on the Red Pill Diaries. That just took place over in the Middle East about this tanker that was hit by drones. And the story goes that it was captured by assailants, and then the assailants did not take anything. They just got on the boat, shot two people, got off the boat, and left. right? I mean, this is the story that they're giving you, and you believe in it. And so they're saying that this was an outright act of international terrorism. As a matter of fact, not only has America condemned it, but and Israel is pushing the story. Not only has the UK condemned it, but the muscle of America, which is NATO, has come out and threatened Iran. You know why they did this? You know why this incident took place? It took place because Iran just inaugurated the largest oil and gas port in the Middle East. And it's not on mainland Iran. It's on one of their territories, which gives them a strategic leg up if something goes down. And this in itself threatens the dollar. And so what you're seeing is an act of war by America, Britain, and Israel. They're doing everything that they can to demonize Iran because that's what they want to go to war with. That's what they want, because they want to stop this. Because Iran is the outlying part, even though we say Middle East, she's the outlying part of Asia. And if they can take Iran, remember how they destabilized Afghanistan. If they can take Iran, then they can weaken China. They can weaken Russia. They can balkanize Pakistan. And they can bring India to heel and submission. This is the significance of what just took place there. It's about dollar politics. It's about hegemony over there. So when you see the policies of the UK or the policies of America, or you see the policies of Israel, remember, they are all one and the same. Okay? And it has all to do with the debt that America, Britain, and Israel keeps running up. Okay? Because a lot of you know about the saying that prior to 9/11, America, her debt was going to be called in. And she didn't have the money to back it, so she blew up the buildings or whatever, and she took the gold from under the vaults of the buildings and to never be seen again, right? But what you didn't know is that Israel was financially bankrupt, and she was about to go bankrupt. I'm talking about literally bankrupt. She was about to go bankrupt. But she invested in all of these companies that when 9/11 happened, they took off because these were strategic companies, strategic assets, and they brought in billions and billions of shekels or dollars or whatever you want to keep the lie of Israel afloat. America's descent into chaos is in motion, and I've gotten my information from direct sources. You can argue all you want to, and I'm not going to argue with you because I know you don't understand, and I know that you don't know what I know when it comes to stuff like that. But let's go into this, because all of that is related to dollar politics. So, and Rashid, on the other side of this break, I'll bring you in, okay? So keep your thought, brother. Here's part two. This is 10 minutes. Pay close attention.
All right, so these are the questions that we think that you will probably want asked as you watch this newscast. Why does David Stockman say a collapse could be coming? Why is the maker of AR-15s offering Sandy Hook parents $33 million? Is there really a new way of buying that does not include money? There is, and we're going to tell you what it is. Everyone seems to be talking about inflation and how that can be a harbinger of things to come. But fewer people are taking that deep dive into exactly how much money we're simply pulling out of thin air. And we're going to look at both of these issues, but we're going to begin with inflation. And NRS correspondent Farron Fronczak, who's joining us here on set, to take us through it. What do we know?
All right, so Rick, let's start with what has gone up, because everyone's like, what am I going to be paying more for? COVID halted hotels, airfare, and all things travel. So if you take a look, we got hotels are up 10%, airfare up 24%.
Wow.
Then you have the used cars up 30% because... remember that chip shortage coming out of China? People can't buy new cars, therefore they're stuck with the old cars, and those prices have jacked
up. That's crazy. What people are paying for a pre-owned car right now is remarkable.
Astronomical. Now let's talk about your home. We were talking about washers and dryers and grills. Those are all up 27%. Furniture's up 9%. Bikes up 10%. Lumber. The highest that we saw, it was $1,670 per 1,000 board feet. What that is, it covers one square foot Okay? A 12 by 12 inch tile, $1,600.
So how big is the increase in lumber? Probably up about 20 or 30
as
well.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So then the thing is economists predict this is going to be high. This is going to stay high the next 18 months. Now, we have charts that are going to blow you away. You're going to see a dip first, which is going to be 2019 to 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Then I want you to look at the last half, the 2020 to 2021. Take a look here. First, we've got transportation. It's going to be almost up 20% there, as we talked about with the used cars and all of that.
This is over the next 2 years?
No, this is from 2020 to 2021.
Oh, where we are now compared
where
to where we were.
Now.
Got it. Okay.
Next is the used cars and trucks. Like we said, almost 30%. Then you're going to have gasoline up more than 50%.
All right, so let's look at trucks first.
Mm-hmm.
Let's follow the video here. And now let's look at gasoline.
Yep.
Wow, look at that V.
Exactly. That's the most shocking part. Then after that, oil, that's another part. Same like with gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
That one's coming up almost 50%. You can see this gigantic V. Then we have housing. Again, year overall, almost 3% of an increase. Rent, almost 2%. And they say that is going to stay that way. Now, you have with shipping, COVID outbreaks. They
let's separate these two. So you have inflation where everything costs more. And now we're getting hit with something else. Within the last couple of weeks, if not the last month, we've realized that the shipping lines all over the world are stopping.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get goods from here to there.
Yes.
Why?
Well, it's because one of these things is you have the factories overseas that are shutting down because of a second COVID outbreak. So you can't get stuff here overseas, which then has the railways. They are shutting down as far as maybe weeks at a time because they have nothing to ship.
So that's going to make the inflation go higher.
Exactly.
So prices that were already high are going to get higher because there's going to be less inventory.
And you are going to have to wait much longer to get your grill. Much longer.
Don't tell that to my wife. Apparently
Uh-oh.
That thing's been
Uh-oh.
On order now for several months. All right, David Stockman. Let's bring him in. David Stockman, he's written arguably the best book on crony capitalism. It's called The Great Deformation, The Corruption of Capitalism in America. Talk about a great read. David's good enough to join us right now. All right, so we went through inflation. Most people know that stuff. What you are saying, David, is that it's not so much just the inflation, it's the money printing that seems to have no end in sight. In fact, what I used at the beginning of this program were your thoughts, your notes, that I took from one of your recent writings. Take us through that again.
Well, okay, I think it's very simple. The first century of the Fed, its balance sheet went from zero when it opened in 1914. To about $4.4 trillion somewhere in the middle of 2014, a century later. In the last 23 months, we've duplicated that $4.4 trillion. The balance sheet now is $8.2 trillion. That's the first point. Massive money printing of a scale never before imagined. You had it right, $6.5 billion a day. But you got to put that in perspective. During that same 23-month period, 2 years, you know how much GDP, and I'm talking about nominal GDP, just the dollar GDP, it's up by $1.4 trillion. So think about that. We have printed three times more money in the last 2 years than the entire growth of the GDP. They've swamped the place. They've waterlogged Wall Street and increasingly the economy. That's why we have these roaring housing prices. With fiat liquidity, just money made out of thin air. So now we have the Fed buying $120 billion a month still, adding to its balance sheet. They say they're thinking about tapering somewhere down the road. That's lunatic. They should be stopping that right now and should have never done it in the first place. But of that $120 billion, $40 billion a month is in mortgage-backed securities. We have a rip-roaring housing inflation. Housing prices are up 23% by one index in the last year, and they're still adding kerosene to the fire by buying all these housing securities, driving interest rates, mortgage rates to rock bottom, forcing American households that may want to buy a house for the first time or trade up to get in line, close their eyes, and pay any price that they can throw at the board in the hope that maybe they'll be lucky and end up with a purchased home. I mean, this is nonsense. What is it accomplishing? It is just one giant casino that is now being lit up from coast to coast, And, of course, I haven't even gotten to Wall Street yet in the fact that, really, now we're in the middle of the greatest suckers rally in recorded history. These stock prices, bond prices, and meme stock prices, and crypto prices, and FANG prices, and tech prices, they're crazy. You know, they're totally disconnected from income. And remember, at the end of the day, it's income and profits that create the value of an asset. And when they become disconnected to the degree that they are today, and it's really fantastic, you basically are inflating financial assets. And that's the thing that people are missing. You know, the Fed has been whining for years now about too little inflation. They call it lowflation. I mean, that's nonsense. They have been inflating the hell out of financial assets for years. That's why the stock market is at the insane heights that it's at today. And now that's beginning to spill over into goods and services and Main Street daily living prices as well. So they've got themselves painted into a horrendous corner from which I see no exit except some kind of huge day of reckoning, unfortunately.
That's interesting what you just said, that you see no exit. What if they were to say, we don't have to have an exit. We can just keep printing money. Is that a possibility? Can that work? Can they actually do that? Or does there have to be an end to this?
I think there has to be an exodus, because pretty soon we're going to have goods and services inflation that's at 4%, 5%, and 6%, which is even far higher than their own targets. They're going to have to finally concede that it's not transitory. As a result of that, they're going to have to raise interest rates. They're going to have to stop buying all these bonds. And the minute that happens, there will be a huge crash on Wall Street. And, of course, unfortunately, that will spill over into the Main Street economy, and everybody will suffer as a result of the foolishness of the 12 people sitting on the so-called Open Market Committee, and particularly of Jay Powell. I mean, this guy is the most incompetent boob that has ever, run the Fed, and we've had some real, we've had some real winners in that category for several terms now. I mean, it's just unbelievable. The guy stands up there and lies to the American public. He doesn't have inflation under control. He says he sees no sign of bubbles in the stock market. But is that guy smoking? I mean, when you have the S&P trading at, 30 times net income, or double what it should be, it's just one indication of the problem.
David, you're fantastic. You are, man, you tell it like it is. You see it and you call it. And we will see how the market does. And thanks for joining us and sharing that gloom with us. We'll just have to see how it shakes out. Thanks.
So they're talking about inflation. And let me give you an idea of what this is, because inflation is actually a tax. It's a tax on the people, because inflation weakens your monetary base. Okay? According to the dictionary, the word inflation means, and it is a noun, the action of inflating something or the condition of being inflated. In economics, it is a general increase in prices and fall in the purchasing value of money. And some people call that monetary debasement, right? And according to the definition on that, debasement refers to lowering the value of a currency today. Debasement can happen if a government prints more money, increasing the money supply without a corresponding increase in output. Debasement gives more money to governments for spending while it results in inflation for citizens, which is a tax. Now, how does that relate to Elijah Muhammad? he put some chapters in a book called Message to the Black Man, and he was giving us something. And then he put a book out called The Fall of America. And in some chapters that were in Message to the Black Man, they were in the book Fall of America. So he's trying to get your eyes on something. He's trying to make you see something that you would normally overlook, something that is of the utmost importance, because he put it in two books. Right? Some of you didn't understand that. So you read, that's another book. But you didn't understand why. And he put it into a book called message to the black man. He was trying to send you a message that you would not pick it up on. And since you did not pick up on it, he put it in a book titled The Fall of America to let you know that this would be one of the pillars of the fall of America. And one of the chapters that he put in both books is called Decline of the Dollar. How does the dollar decline? Right? Through inflation, through debasement, through money printing, through the lack of any tangible physical backings of the dollar. What Muhammad says, today, the currency of America is not backed by any sound value, silver or gold. The note today is something that the government declares it will give you the value in return, but does not name what that value is. They definitely are not backing their currency with silver or gold. This, listen to this good, this is the number one fall. What is the number one fall of America? A dollar. Without any sound backing, it puts America in such a position that what they have done is put the noose around their own neck. And through the debasement of the currency, they have tightened the noose. And now all they're waiting for is somebody to kick the chair from up under them. Muhammad goes further and says, this is the number one fall. And it is very clear that the loss of the power of the American dollar means the loss of the financial power of America. What will happen since there is no sound backing for our notes? We do not know. What should we expect in even the next 12 months under the fall of the power of America's dollar? This means that we have 100% inflation. What could happen under 100% inflation? Your guess is as good as mine. The power of gold, listen to this, the power of gold and silver was once abundant in America, but the touch of the finger of God against the power of so mighty a nation has now caused the crumbling and fall of America. So the debasement of the dollar is the number one fall. Right? Oh, man, y'all don't understand. I'm telling you. Elijah Muhammad is being proven 100%, and we go into it. Now, let me go get this brother Rashid. Let me bring him in, and then we're going to continue along this line. So, brother, I say unto you, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, brother. How you doing?
Brother, I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
You're fine, brother. The news brings a twinkle to my eye, brother. Donald Elijah, what's happening is Donald, like he said, brother, Donald Elijah Muhammad is being proven right.
That's right.
Back when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was here, I go back to the, we had a brother, a couple of Muslims at UCLA. And he said that they was talking over one of the Muhammad Speaks newspapers articles with a people that were non-Muslim. And then they was reading it, and the brother started hollering, all that old man don't know what he's talking about. Ain't none of that stuff going to happen. Honorable Elijah Muhammad's main teachings are for the end. The 60 to not exceed 70 years of extension. That's the end of America. Naturally, it wasn't going to be happening back 40 or 50 years ago because the time had not passed. But
right.
What's taking place is exactly what Elijah Muhammad said. Now, you got all of these people around the world hollering about this prophet and that prophet. Like the messenger said, I'm not trying to take the credit to do Prophet Muhammad or Jesus or whatever. I'm trying to fulfill what they said would come. And he's exactly doing it. Everything Elijah Muhammad said is coming true. For those who distractors and people laughing and giggling up under their breath when he said something, they ain't going to be laughing too much longer. You know, when somebody laughs, the laugh can be upside down in a few seconds. And this is what's taking place. They will be crying. Our people and the whole entire world, when God came out in the past, it's for a little town, a little city, a little country, a little but this was not the entire world. Today, the entire world got to be brought down.
Yep.
And this is the reason why this is the most important time in history. When God and the devil do battle to see who's going to rule the planet Earth. The reason why a war of Armageddon must come. It must, in order to break the power of the empire, break the power of the military-industrial complex, and then once it's broken, then that's the end of its power, right?
Right.
Long alaikum, brother.
Walaikum salam. Good teaching, brother. Now, before we head back into what, because brother was teaching some good stuff, we might, remember, she might have a show tonight on the Red Pill Diaries. You might be able to catch us on the Red Pill Diaries on YouTube. Go and if you go up there and see it, might be a reminder. We're going to try to do it. We were going to do it last night, but for some reason, quote unquote, the power went out, but you know how that goes. So back on this. They see a collapse coming. You don't see it. And notice how we can go to any book and we can prove this stuff, what the messenger said. It's easy. This is not hard. I don't have to. I can put a blindfold on. I can read an article. I can put a blindfold on. I can grab the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's book, and I can point to what he had warned us about this or taught this right here. And now these people are telling you this, but they like to talk over your head, so they use big words. Even though you think they're talking to you, they're talking over you to their brethren. We're looking at the collapse. In this last clip that I played, they said something that might have went over all of your heads. They said, there's no way out. They said that. And Rick Sanchez, when he was talking, he was asking the question. They were talking about, there's no way out of this. No way. I'm going to play a clip for y'all. This is about a five-minute clip. This is from Max Kaiser. I played this before, I believe. But I want you to hear this because I think he's interviewing somebody, if I'm not mistaken. And then there's somebody say, there's no way out of this. I want you to pay, because that's the theme. I want you to understand, that is the theme with them. They'll give you this stuff, and then they'll say, what is the rosy scenario? Then after that, and then they'll come right back behind stuff, and there's no way out. Well, it's a mathematical impossibility. I'm talking about all of the pundits are telling you these things. But let's play this clip.
Research and all sorts of stuff. I recommend you check it out. Your latest pieces, Alistair, are called Too Much Liquidity and Inflation, Assets, and Consumer Prices. So this is definitely the biggest theme of 2021, and that is inflation. Even the U.S. Federal Reserve is admitting now that there is quite a bit of inflation. The numbers are over 5%, the official numbers that they report to the U.S. And however, first of all, is this inflation transitory, as they say? Or do you think this is going to be a bit more permanent, as the head of the Central Bank of Russia has recently just said?
I'm afraid it's a bit more permanent than transitory. The problem basically is that you can see, going back to March last year, how commodity prices just took off. And they took off at exactly the moment that the Fed decided to do QE of $120 billion a month. And not only that, but as we come out of lockdown, we find two things. Firstly, there's a complete logistical foul-up. Nothing is getting delivered. We went into it with just-in-time inventory management, which means there's nothing on the shelves. And on top of that, we find to our displeasure that people, having stopped working, don't want to go back to work. So you can see that there is not the product available to match all that money that's been handed to the consumers. And the consequence is quite simple. Prices rise. And not only do they rise, but they will continue rising until that situation is sorted out, the minimum. But of course, the monetary inflation continues. So will it ever get sorted out? I'm afraid that it's actually a very serious situation, and it will only be a matter, I think, of a month or two, or perhaps even a few weeks before the currency markets begin to reflect the fact that interest rates have got to rise in order to protect currencies against the debasement that we have seen so far. So I think, as far as the Fed is concerned, I think they were trying very hard not to precipitate a situation which is already there. But I'm afraid it is there. It is not transient. It is permanent. And it's going to prove to be extremely expensive for the consumer.
So you talk about $120 billion money printing per month, or QE per month. So my question is this. You know, we came to an era of programs, various programs, whether it's QE1, QE2, the TARP bailout after the 2008 crisis. But it seems like we fundamentally entered into a new era where they're not even trying to create these programs. They're just saying this is an automatic line item every month, $120 billion printed. And so we've entered into a new era where there is actually, this is an outstanding feature of policy now. It's no longer a program. It's no longer responding to anything. But it's a reinterpretation of the economy from the very most fundamental level, Alistair.
Well, it started off in the wake of the Lehman crisis as extraordinary measures. And unfortunately, instead of the extraordinary measures going away, they have continued. And not only have they continued, but they've become yet more extraordinary. I mean, it is no solution. The problem, there was a phrase a little while ago about kicking the can down the road. I mean, it looks to me as if we're running out of road to kick that can down. Really, I'm afraid that the central banks have got themselves into one enormous mess on this, and it's very, very difficult to see how they can get out of it. And I know that I've mentioned before that really their objective has been to try and keep the show on the road, kick that can down the road, as it were, by puffing up asset values, by ensuring that the yields on U.S. Treasury bonds don't rise, that they are suppressed, that we all get a wealth effect from rising stock prices, to which they can now add cryptocurrencies. I mean, we've got to keep fueling the bubble, keep pumping the bubble, and that's really what they've been doing. But of course, there comes a point where you can no longer do that. And this is the importance of the inflation message that we're getting, because it will mean that interest rates have got to rise. What happens to that asset bubble? The asset bubble collapses. It's as simple as that. Now, as soon as that begins to happen, we then look and see what is the Fed's response going to be. Well, the answer is quite simple. They're going to have to up QE from $120 billion a month to, say, $200 billion a month, maybe $250 billion a month, in order to keep the asset bubble inflated. So, I mean, can we imagine this? This is yet more extraordinary measures. It is absolutely crazy, and there is actually no way out of it. They've basically run out of road.
It is absolutely, I'm telling you, sometimes it's just unfair in my eyes that we can prove the messenger's teachings so clearly, because you have to understand these are investment people, these are market people, these are political figures, these are scholars, these are scientists in their fields of study, and they're bearing witness to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They ran out of road. They can't kick this down the road no more. This is it. They put themselves in such a position that they can no longer use the tricks that Pharaoh's magicians were used to using to try to keep the people of Moses mesmerized. They can't do that now. It's too late for them. He said, he talked about how the Fed was talking about it was transitory, the inflation, but no, he said that it's more permanent. According to the dictionary, the word permanent means, it's an adjective, and it means lasting or intended to last or remain unchanged indefinitely. Lasting, enduring, indefinite, continuing, perpetual, everlasting. So the situation that they now find themselves in is a debt spiral, right, that is threatening to destroy the financial pillars of not only the American empire, but the whole of the Western world order. We're watching it, right? Didn't Elijah Muhammad warn you of this? Didn't he tell you of this? I read it to you in the fall of America. I read it to you in the message to the black man. I read it to you in the theology of time. I read it to you and our Savior has arrived. You can't deny the truth, right? And yet you still believe that you have some kind of hope or favor with this man. But remember what they said on one of the shows, I think it was our previous show when we played the clip. If they raise interest rates, then America's interest payments on her debt will balloon to over $1 trillion a year. And this will be untenable or unsustainable by the American government and would force her into bankruptcy. open bankruptcy, not just behind-the-scenes bankruptcy that she's doing now, but open bankruptcy. So we're going to listen to this a minute and a half clip here, and then we'll close out. We'll come back. I wanted to show you just I might, if you give me 2 extra minutes, I might play a couple things for you because I think it's very, very important that you hear this stuff, okay? But we're going to go back to Mr. Doug Casey from one of the previous shows, and we're going to play one of the clips that we did not play, okay? And I want you to hear what he says because it's in line with what the message tell you about the law before the storm. You in the, I'm telling you, it's going to get stormy, baby. It's going to get stormy. But I want you to just listen to this.
Glad to be with you.
Thanks, Andrew. It's a pleasure to be here.
You had one of the best speeches. People were loving it. And you were talking about speculating. You were talking about opportunities today. My first question is, where do you see the world heading in a broad sense?
I think we're on the cusp of what I call the Greater Depression. And a depression is a period of time when most people's standard of living drops significantly. And right now, we're in the eye of the storm. The government has printed up, well, not just the U.S. government, but all the world's governments, printed up trillions and trillions of dollars of currency units. And it's given people an artificial sense of prosperity. If we deposited $10,000 in everybody's bank account tonight, they'd wake up and think they were a lot richer tomorrow. Well, they wouldn't be. But they would go out and start buying stuff and create, and that would create a business cycle, giving all kinds of false signals to the economy. So I think we're at the cusp of something, actually, that's going to be the biggest disaster that we've seen since the Industrial Revolution. Not that that was a disaster, that was one of the best things that's ever happened in all of history. But these are very, very dangerous times, and this is just the lull before the storm. Right now, as we speak, we're in Indian summer, as it were.
Woo! I'm telling you now, brothers and sisters, please don't get mad with your brother because we proved the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I mean, it's so clear. How can you argue with this? I mean, how can you argue with this show? How can you make an intelligent argument against what we're talking about, because we point out to you the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We point out to you world events. We point out to you the geopolitics, the politics, and the economics, and we encompass it with theology so that you can understand the time. And they understand the time. They see that everything is going away. But let me get to this quick clip. I think this is 2 minutes, and then we'll close out on the other end. So bear with me, brothers and sisters. This clip I haven't heard, but I'm going to play it for you.
Offices to be interrogated. Anyway, forget about that. You know, that documents like that are of little use except as conversation pieces because the world has become much more strictly regulated, and all passports today are government property that are all hooked up by computer systems, so they know where you are and what you're doing everywhere, as you're well aware. So personal freedom is increasingly being flushed down the toilet. And people ask me, well, why is that? And it's because everybody believes in democracy. And all these legislatures that meet, what do? They pass laws. And what do? They tell you what you must do and must not do. So every day that passes, there are more of these laws that accumulate like the bottom of the Augean stables. And every law they pass, has to be funded, so taxes go higher or money printing goes higher, and a new agency has to be set up to enforce it. So this is what's happening to the world at this point. And this is one of the reasons why I say we're going into the Greater Depression. On the other hand, this whole thing about internationalizing yourself is very important because your biggest risks in the world today are not so much financial or economic, and those are huge, they're gigantic. Your biggest risks today are political, and the only way to get around them is to diversify politically.
which is why, you know, I have residences in three countries at the moment. And I suggest that everybody that's in a position to do that, do so. And if you're not in a position to do it, get into a position to do it.
So this is what he said. And